I have to get this done first. I know you're there. Good evening. So glad you could come and be with us. Want to first point out the fact that it's been my privilege to come and to worship with this good congregation and to hold a gospel meeting. I'm thankful for the great meal that we had Sunday afternoon. I'll probably about 5 or 10 pound meeting. I'm really not sure which, but we'll figure it out when I get home. My wife will yell at me. Are you glad that she's going to yell at me? Because she's going to be really upset with me. But it's not your fault. You didn't make me eat it. Well, you kind of did, but really that's not true. I ate it free, with a free will. You know, the devil doesn't make you do it. You do what you want to do, and that's why that works out. If you're with us tonight and not a member of the Church of Christ, you're a most honored guest, because we want you to examine the things that we do. If you have a question, please ask us at the conclusion of services and let us sit down with an open Bible and discuss the scriptures with you, that we might give an answer for the things we're doing. Because we are concerned about going to heaven. And we can't go to heaven living like the devil. And we can't go to heaven giving God things he didn't ask for. And we ought to find, we have to, from the scriptures themselves, we have to understand what the Bible teaches, and we have to adhere to what Christ Jesus says, because after all, this is his church. This is not my church. This is not Joe's church. This is not the church of the elders. This is the church belonging to Christ Jesus, and everyone here who is a member of the Church of Christ is so by choice. They were not scared into it. They were not hog-tied and thrown in the water. They, in fact, made a decision in their life to repent of their sins and to come follow Jesus. And that's what one does when they come to obey the gospel, as many women did in the first century. As you can read very easily in Acts, the second chapter, especially the 40th and 41st verses, when the Apostle Peter, and with many other words, he testified to them saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked, perverse generation." And many believed him, and both men and women were baptized. They were baptized into Christ. 47th verse of that same chapter, the second chapter of Acts, says that the Lord added to them daily those who are being saved. So the saved are added to the church. They're not voted in. It's not a community church. This is not a church that is set for the community, but rather set for Christ Jesus the Lord. And we do the things that please the Lord. We don't do the things that please the members. We don't even do the things that please the preacher or even preach the elder. We do what pleases the Lord. So this is the church belonging to Jesus Christ. That's important to understand that before starting this lesson tonight. I'll get this to come up here. Okay. Let's try it this way. I just love the magical age of electronics. My great-grandfather was a gospel preacher, and he died in 1916, so it's 100 years since he died. It's coming around pretty quickly. And he would go into a city, as I'm told by my grandmother long ago. She said that he would go into a city and he would have some help. He would hire some guy to dig a hole and fill it with water. And then he preached the gospel, have a gospel meeting, and they would come out, people come out from the town. They'd sit on split logs, that's all they had to sit on, and on the ground. And he would preach for 3 solid hours. Well, that's not going to happen tonight. Maybe not anyway. But the thing is, though, is that that's not the issue. You see, people came out and listened and sat there because he used the scriptures. He didn't preach himself. He didn't even preach the church. He preached what the Bible said, and they understood that they need to be a part of Jesus' church in order to be saved. They understood in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, that Jesus is the Savior of the body, his church. They understood that. And he made them understand that. They didn't know the whole Bible, they obeyed the gospel, but they understood they needed to be baptized for the remission of their sins. And when he spoke, he had these sheets, tall sheets, had them all painted with different charts and had scriptures on them, one scripture after another. By today's standards, you just use too many scriptures. That's what I hear sometimes, you know. Use too many scriptures. That's sad, isn't it? Can you use enough scriptures, brethren? We need the Bible. We don't need the talking heads. We don't need the doctrine of divinity. We don't need that. We need the Bible. We need what the Bible teaches. And don't let anybody ever convince you that you can't know what the Bible says, because you most certainly can. If you believe that God spoke life to existence, you believe Genesis account. If you believe that God can speak the world to existence, then surely you believe he has the power to get us the Word. that we can all understand alike. If you believe in God, if you believe that He has all power, you know He can do it. If you don't know it, then you're in trouble. Because you're the one the devil's looking for. Because he's looking for you. He's already got you convinced that you can't know what the Bible teaches. And that's where he started. For when he was Eve in the garden, did he not say, you're what the devil's saying? Oh no, thou shalt not die. For he knows, God knows that the day you throw, your eyes will be open, knowing right from wrong. And you'll be like, you'll be wiser than he is. Now that's a lie, but if it's true, the eyes would be open and there would be no right from wrong. So he perverted the thing that she had heard from the Lord God. She should have believed God, not the devil, but that's how it goes with God. Well, Adam, I've already said this before, Adam, he's going along, get along. You know, that's how it was Adam. She gave him, and he did eat. And then the Lord called him to account. What did he say? What's this woman you gave me? She gave me, and I did eat. Finally got down to where he did something wrong. It's only somebody else, you know. That's how that works. But anyway, this has an authority in the present age. Is it really necessary? I'm seeing churches of Christ today. Yes, churches of Christ. So they don't seem to think it's necessary to have book, chapter, and verse for what they're doing. The preacher doesn't seem to think that it's important to take brethren and people who are outside the Lord's church step by step through the Scriptures to help them understand the need for the authority of the Scriptures. Without it, my friend, we might as well be following your opinion. For your opinion probably is much better than mine, but both are worth nothing when it comes to God's Word. God did not ask us for our opinion. He did not send His Son to die so that we could tell Him how to count the cabbage, if you will. But rather He sent His Son so we might learn through Him the things we ought to do to be saved. And so many times people say, well, I don't like it. Well, God didn't ask if you liked it before He sent His Son after. That's not the issue. The issue is, do you understand what God wants you to do to be saved? I have some, and I found some brethren who decided they're not going to preach that baptism is essential salvation. That's not popular. It's never been popular to ask anybody to do anything, quite frankly. But the truth of it is that baptism is essential salvation. For without it, you don't have faith. Well, I beg your pardon, I can have faith without obeying God. Really? That's interesting. And how do you think that? How do you have faith without obedience to God's Word? Would you like to show me? I'd be glad for you to say over the Bible and show me the book, chapter, and verse teaches such a thing. Tonight, I want to look at a verse that Joe and I came across as we were studying together in Lithuania. And not the two people deciding on something makes it true, but Joe and I decided this verse is probably the center or the epicenter of what is going to happen in the church today as it has happened before. And then he is, the Apostle Paul said, but I fear lest somehow as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He didn't say that Christ is simplistic. He said the simplicity that is in Christ. The gospel message is a simple message. It's not one that's hard to understand. It may be hard to hear sometimes because it condemns sin in the flesh. And there are those who rather continue on living the way they're living and without making a change. In fact, they've been taught or they've been led to believe that God will make the changes. You just come as you are, stay as you are, you'll be okay. None of them teach that. Never has. Jesus never died that men might continue in sin. He died so they could come out of sin and live right. One of the gravest, as far as I can see today, is facing some of the younger preachers. Now, I used to be a young preacher, but now I'm older. Those younger preachers, they seem to have some problems with Calvinism. Don't seem to understand what's wrong with the tulip plan. Don't seem to understand that, yes, we're saved by grace, but not grace alone. Yes, we're saved by faith, but not faith alone. We're saved by baptism, but not baptism alone. None of those things we're saved by alone. It takes all of those things working together to be saved from your sins. What about the Genesis account? Does it really matter? In this verse, Paul said, I fear. And he gives an example of why he's afraid. Isn't it interesting that he talked about the creation? Isn't it interesting that he goes back to creation, to the Garden of Eden? Isn't it interesting that he talks about the serpent to Stephen Eve? He didn't mention Eve that way because he's that woman hater, as some have said about the Apostle Paul. That's not the reason. He mentions this because this is how the devil works. Today, I have some of my own brethren who would have you believe that the Genesis account is mythology. That it isn't real. Dear brethren, God made the world. We didn't climb out of some slimy pit somewhere and over 200 billion years or 40 billion years or as long as they say it took. But often became a man. God fashioned a man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into him the breath of life. And he became a living soul. And we are living souls. That's who we are. And we will live on and on and on forevermore. You're alive, my friend, because you have a soul. And like the animals, when they die, they're gone. But when you die, you're left. That's right. If you serve the Lord, you'll be happy. If you don't serve the Lord, you'll be very sad. In fact, you'll be in pain. You'll be in hell. You'll be in a place of torment. Why? Because God's so mean? No. Because you turn your nose up at the Son of God. Because you act like it didn't matter what Jesus paid on the cross. And that's terrible. Terrible thing to do. Terrible. Horrible. What about the Genesis account? Does it really matter? Just hold on to that for a minute, that thought. In Galatians 1st chapter, turn there with me, please. You can sound still struggling my voice. But I have a little bit more of my voice now tonight than I did last night. In Galatians, the first chapter, in the 11th and 12th verses, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came to the revelation of Jesus Christ. The gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. So why do you think that gospel preachers need to go to a seminary or a brotherhood college or whatever you want to call it to somehow get a higher education? I'm not against education, by the way. I have a Bachelor of Science in Education. I'm certified in the state of Texas to teach. I have degrees. But what's that got to do with the Bible? But what's that got to do with what the Bible teaches? And when I'm not going to stand here and tell you how much I know versus what you know, when I know for a fact that in the Scriptures you can know for yourself. That you should follow the Scriptures, for the power is in the Word. For I'm not ashamed of the Gospel. For it is the power of God through salvation to every man that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is revealed the righteousness of God, the faith of the faith. Even as written, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1, verse 16-17. The thing about it is, though, is that we have to understand the Apostle Paul said that what I preach to you is not according to man. Come on. In 2 Peter 1, turn your Bible there. In 2 Peter 1st chapter, we look at the 16th verse. Peter, inspired by God, of God, the Holy Spirit, he wrote, For we, meaning the apostles, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables, we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, for our witnesses of His majesty. The thing about that is that he wanted them to know that it was not according to man. It wasn't according to what men thought. It wasn't even according to the wisdom of men at all. He later would say in the 19th to 21st verses, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came of the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved from the Holy Spirit. Look at it. For prophecy never came of the will of man. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. He did not mean that you could not interpret the Scriptures individually. What he meant was that those who wrote these words were not writing their opinions. They weren't writing what they thought or think so. They were writing what the Holy Spirit told them to write. Straight from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, as God had given promise to Jesus. This is the nature of how it is revealed to us. What makes you think that God somehow gave me more knowledge than He'll give you? God is no respecter of persons. But my mom used to say, "Boy, sometimes you don't have the sense that God gave a goose." I guess that was right. But you know what? God has given us sense, hasn't He? He's given us intelligence. You say, "Well, I don't know. Sometimes it's hard to understand some things." And so let me tell you something. I used to work with, it's now called Challenge Children. These are they're mentally retarded. And working with Bernadette Allen, her name was Bernie Allen. One day I was feeling sorry for this child because the child was having really struggling. And she said, "Don't you dare feel sorry for this child." I said, "What?" She said, "Don't you dare feel sorry for this child." She said, "You'll become a crutch to them because they may not be able to write their name or say their letters or count to 20, but they can mind. They know right from wrong, and they can learn." And if that's true of those children, that's true of all of us. Many times people say, "Well, I just didn't understand that." You know what? My mom used to call it, "Your understanding's been broken. You've got a broken understander. A broken understander. You don't want to understand. You're not listening." I heard that a lot too in life. "You're not listening." So I'll shout a little louder, I'll be able to hear you. Wrong. I don't listen to people shout. How about you? I never have. Don't know why, just don't. Don't hear what they're saying. They're shouting because they're angry sometimes, and with all anger, Lord willing, wins tonight. But it's not a very good way to communicate. Now, certainly be angry and sin, not letting out the sun go down your wrath. Need to give place to the devil, but the thing about it is that we don't seem to understand when people really care for us or really love us. When they really tell us the thing we need to hear, not the thing we want to hear. And that's sort of the problem in the understanding of the Scriptures for many people. Knowing this first, Peter said, knowing this first, you know, prophecy of Scriptures is any private interpretation, for prophecy never came of the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So he says, "Well, you church guys don't talk much about the Holy Spirit." It's not true. Every time I read the Scripture, every time I preach from God's Word, that's the Holy Spirit speaking. Oh, not me. Holy Spirit didn't dwell in me, not you. Holy Spirit dwells those who listen and obey the Word. He'll talk to you if you'll listen to the Scriptures. You'll obey the Savior. That through the Word of God will you learn. You'll understand. It's not some miraculous takeover here. Be like my friend, old Mr. Reed. I worked at elementary school with him for several summers. He was he used to say, "Aren't you a custodian?" I said, "No, we're just a janitor." You know, I mean, really, come on. Let's not dress it up. You know, but he would have to be a member of the Pentecostal Church, Assembly of God, there in Hazel, Texas. And every morning, I got to work about 5:30, start the day, because in summer, Texas gets a little hot. You start early. It's going to get hot. And we would go, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours, back and forth, Scriptures, back and forth. I didn't have to go to a seminary or a college of preaching to learn how to teach and preach the gospel, because I had people who were opposed to the Bible. And I was charged by them to show them what the Bible teaches. Show me. You know what? Sometimes I could, and sometimes I couldn't. But I will tell you one thing. Sometimes when I could, they still wouldn't listen, and they still didn't look. And they didn't want to see it. And they didn't want to hear it. But that did not loose me from saying it. No, sir, did not. In 1 Corinthians 4, which Mason read very well, he read from the King James Version, which I asked him to do. Not because the New King James Version, which I read from most of the time when I'm preaching the gospel these days. I preached for 10 years with the American Standard Version, the ASV, 1902. The accepted version. And then I tried the New American Standard Version, which is kind of interesting. And then I came up, and then I went back to King James. I said, well, you know, if the translation of 611 of King James is good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. I'm teasing, of course. Mercy. You know, brethren, that's the sad part about this. People have this idea that somehow God's going to get in their face in a busy day and make them read the Bible and make them think about the things they ought to think about. God doesn't work like that. God loves us enough to believe that we ought on our own seek His Word out and seek out the things that are important to Him and not just to us. But you'll find as you continue to study that the things important to God really are important to you, because they'll make a difference in your life. They'll save you from much pain and much suffering. Now, the truth will cause you pain and suffering because the people around about you don't like it. And that's just, you have to be warned about that. But I'd rather be in trouble with them than would be in trouble with God. How about you? 1 Corinthians 4, 6th verse. Now, these things, brethren, I figuratively have transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written. But that's good. King James Version says, but you might not think of men above what is written. Because, and I know why it's written that way, because most of the things, when you go beyond what is written, they're written by men. That's the reason why. But would you rather hear what men have to say than what God has to say? Oh no, I want to hear God's Word. I said, then why do you seek out all these commentaries? Why do you seek out all these quote-unquote scholars? Why do you do that? Are you looking for authority? Jones went dun dun dun. You're looking for authority. Amazing. Don't you see that when you approach the scriptures, if you don't have a respect for the authority of the scriptures, you will never know. You will never know what it's teaching. How do you know that, Dennis? John 7:17. That's how I know. Jesus said, John 7:17. Are you there yet? John 7:17. If anyone wills to do his will, talking about God, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Does that verse make any sense to you, what Jesus said? He said, and they were questioning Jesus' authority to say anything. And he said to them, if a man is willing to do the will of God, he will know the difference between what is actually from God and one of those who just speak what they think is right. Jesus said, I don't speak what I think is right. I speak what my Father has said is right. He said, well, he's deity. He's the Son of God. Absolutely. Absolutely he is. But he would not step above the honor of his Father. Did you ever notice that? How Jesus continued to give honor to his Father? At every turn would he do it. Why is that? Because the Father is due honor. That's why. And if you don't listen to the words of God, you dishonor the Father. Amen. You're not listening, you see. You're not listening. People, it's what they're listening for. I tell you, that's a tragic nature, isn't it? Now, I know that when I graduated, and I did graduate, believe it or not, from college. When I did finally graduate, well, when I did, on the commencement exercises, they called upon the president of the college to come give his speech, which is always seemed to be a normal thing to happen. And this man got up and he said, I have a high school diploma, but I don't have a degree like y'all do. So Hadlow said, well, what are you doing there then? We worked all this time on a degree. But he looked out and he said, you know, friends, he said, I'll tell you something. He said, this won't be a long speech, so you just relax.
I didn't say that about the preacher. I said that's what he said. And he said, well, he said, you know, you came here to this learning of higher learning, this institute of higher learning. You came here to learn how to listen. He says, I know what you're saying. You're saying, well, I knew how to listen when I came here. He said, no, you really didn't. He said, you didn't know what to listen for. But now that you've studied years and years and years, now you know what to listen for. That which you did not know to listen for, now you know what to listen for. And you know what? That's exactly how it works with God's Word. There are things that you should be listening for in the Scriptures. But if you go to the Bible, and you say, well, that's what I bought. That's what it said. That's what I bought it says. You're not listening. Well, that's what I thought. Oh, brother, so-and-so said, don't. They're not listening. You're not listening for God. You're not listening for the Word of His Son, Jesus. You're not listening for the Apostles. You're not listening for the right things. I know my mom used to tell me. She said, son, why don't you take out the garbage? I said, Mama, I didn't hear you tell me to take out the garbage. She said, son, I told you 3 times in the last hour. I said, but Mama, I really didn't hear you. She said, I know, son, because you have selective hearing. And I fear there's a lot of folks got selective hearing. They hear what they want to. Because that's what pleases them. That you might learn enough not to think of men. I love that which is written. Hebrews 11 verse 3. Very interesting verse. Turn over there please. Look at that. Real quickly. Well, not too quickly, but quickly enough. Have a Kindle, you'll get over there pretty quick. In Hebrews 11th chapter, pardon me, in the 3rd verse, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. And yet, why do I have my own brethren who are telling us that it doesn't matter if you believe in the Genesis account or not? Brethren, I don't have to climb Mount Ararat and touch the ark of Noah to know it's there. You know how I know it's there? Because the Bible tells me so. That's right. Little thorn we teach our children in Bible class. I know it's there because the Bible tells me so. Well, that's really shallow. No. No, that's the depth of God, of our faith in God. God will not lie to us. Why did James have to tell us? There's no dark side to God. James 1 verse 17. And the dark side of God. You trust God. What He said He did, He did. What He said He'll do, He will do. You can understand those things. I know that in Lithuania, and Joe knows this because he remembers Mikhail. Because the first time I came to call Mikhail, he stood about 6'2" or 6'3", a pretty tall guy. Didn't have an ounce of fat on him. He formerly had been a captain in the Russian army. If you know anything about the Russian army, you know, it's pretty tough outfit. And I said to him, I held out a Russian Bible. And he said, nip, nip, nip. And I said, why? And he said, translator. And he said something. He says, I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't believe that. I don't need that. Well, you know what? I had him. I had him. You know I had him, don't you? You know why I had him? I said, oh, well, okay. Well, then I look confused, which maybe I am confused. But I look confused. You know, part of the theatrics, right, brother? I mean, you have preached about theatrics. Or can we? Anyway, I asked the translator, I said, well, we'll ask Mikhail if he's ever read the Bible. And she says it in Russian. And he gets this funny look on his face, like he's had. And he has had. There's no doubt about that. He said, so he agreed to give the Bible study, but he still would take that Russian Bible. So he gets up there like, Doc, Joe, did you stay with that study with us? I can't remember if you did or not. He had another study with somebody else. And I was up there in the flat. Anyway, Mikhail came, and he remembered. I said, oh, yeah, you remember. He brought me a gift. Don't you remember? He came to the Bible study, and he didn't bring a Bible, but he did bring a really nice bottle of Schnapps. Man, what was I doing with Schnapps at a Bible study? What in the world? You know? And he thought he did a good thing. I persuaded him without making him angry, believe it or not, that I could not take that. Nor could I invite him. I said that I appreciate your thoughtfulness, which I was grateful for that. So we got past that. I'm amazed that we did that. Got past that. And then I tried to hand him a Russian Bible. And Mikhail, he says, "Nit, nit." And I can't say what it is last time, because last time I said, "Have you read it?" So I got to try something new now. Because, brethren, faith comes by hearing, and hearing with the Word of God. How's it going to be faith in Mikhail if he doesn't read the Bible? So I said to him, I don't know why I had bobby pins there, Joe, but we did. And I picked up a couple of bobby pins, and I held them out like this, and I told the translator, "You tell Mikhail, he takes these." Because he said, first I asked him why he wouldn't take a Bible. He said, "Because I don't believe in what I cannot see." And then I really had him. And so I took a couple of bobby pins, held them up, and said, "Here, tell Mikhail to take these two bobby pins and stick it in that 220 socket over there." And he looked at me like I was crazy, which that's probably right. And he said, yeah. And I said, "Why?" And she would translate it. And he said, "Well, why be killed?" I said, "Really?" So I said it. And she says, "Really?" I said, "Well, what?" He said, "By the electricity." And then I told her, he told him, "I don't see electricity." And he got this real knowing look in his face after she said that. And he said something very slyly in Russian. And she said, "Mikhail wants me to tell you that he likes your science." I said, "No, it's not my science. It's what the Bible teaches me. That you must believe in that which you cannot see. You believe in the unseen things. Have you ever read that in the scriptures? We as Christians, our faith is based on the unseen things. At least the Christians I know that are following what the Bible teaches." Mikhail took that Russian Bible. Now what he did with it, I do not know. We haven't been back, have we, Joe? We don't have any idea. But I didn't know. I wanted to let him get the best of me. No, that's not the reason. I really sincerely wanted him to read God's Word, because he had never read it. He had no idea what was in it. So he needed to do that. But now I come to this country, and I get people to read a Bible. I can't get them to read a Bible. And then I've got brethren who say, "You don't have to read the Bible. It's all right. Nobody reads on it anyway. What difference does it make? What's wrong with that picture?" That's blasphemous. That speaks against the very power of God's Word. And God's Word is a powerful thing for those who believe in it. You know, I don't understand what happened. The apostles of Christ preached the gospel, brethren. Turn to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Neighbors and friends, look at Matthew 28. If you're going to preach a lesson on authority, you're going to have to start at Matthew 28. You better go listen to the words of Jesus and what he said to his apostles. In the 18th through the 20th verses, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. And then I got some Christians who come up to me and they say, "Well, don't you know, Dennis, that my preacher taught us that what Jesus said before the cross doesn't count?" I said, "Really? Well, okay, I give up. We'll follow your preacher." I said, "That's funny, because Jesus said, teaching them to observe..." Just part of the things I said. He said, all things that I commanded you. And that'd be before and after the cross. Good luck trying to sell that one. Bunch of junk. It's ridiculous to lead brethren astray. But you know what? That's not the false teacher's fault. What? It's not. It's the brethren who listen to that nonsense. It's their fault that they listen to such things. So they don't know the Bible enough to know what the truth is, to be able to stand up against it as they should. But what does it matter, Dennis? What does it matter? It matters a lot. It matters to Jesus. He has commanded the Father to preach to all nations. Making disciples. What did it stop us? The learner. Making learners. John 16:13. What about these learners? You know what it says in John 16:13? Let's read it. John 16:13. Beautiful passage. Beautiful. Not because it teaches what I want it to teach, but because of what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. What Jesus said He was going to do and what He did. John 16, chapter, looking here at the 13th verse. This verse, listen. Mark in your Bible if you haven't. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you. Who's the you? The apostles. Look at the context of Scripture. He will guide you into all truth. But He will not speak on His own authority. For whatever He hears, He will speak and He will tell you the things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said He will take of Mine and declare it to you. He will not speak on His own initiative. He will not speak on His own authority. Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is limited to what? To the Word of God. Last time I had a discussion with a four square gospel, Pentecostal actually, but anyway, doesn't matter, whichever. It does matter to them, I think, because they have some distinctions they make, but the fact is, I had a discussion. I read this verse to them. I said, now look what this says. And they said, oh, you Church of Christ, we know you. You're the ones that you limit the Spirit to the Word. I said, well, wait a minute. Looks to me like Jesus limited the Spirit to the Word. Because that's what He said. But then if it doesn't matter what Jesus said, I guess it don't matter. Anything matters, really. Jesus told His apostles that they would be guided into all the truth. And last time I checked, all the truth means all. That means there's nothing else outside of it. There's no latter day revelation. God did whisper something in my ear that won't tell you. I have no more. I'm just a man. Just a man. I am not above question. Not at all. In fact, you guys, my children, I'll tell you quick. In fact, you tell my grandchildren. I've never asked them. I'm not above question. Grandpa could be wrong. Daddy can be wrong, but God is not. And His Word is not. All truth. All truth. Jesus told His apostles, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, along with you even to the end of the age. Matthew 28:20. And I tell somebody, I say, well, Jesus did say in Mark 16:60, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And what do I get from that? Oh, that's that Church Cross doctrine you're teaching. Oh, yeah, that's a creedalism. Really? You think? Oh, it's a catechism, don't you know? No, last time I checked, that's the words of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be damned. That's what it says in King James Version anyway. You know, the thing about it is that somebody says, well, Jesus shouted, Jesus, you don't have to be nuts at all. Well, excuse me? So I should act like it doesn't matter? Well, he made it back to us, some mere mouth thing, you know, making people think it doesn't really matter. Oh yeah, it matters. My friend, if you're not baptized into Christ for remission of your sins, you will burn in the devil's hell. That's exactly what will happen. There are people who just live in fear that the preacher will say that. But dear heart, I fear the preachers who don't. I fear the preachers who don't have the backbone or the courage to speak the whole counsel of God and the words that Jesus spoke. They're afraid. They're afraid. John 17:17-21, Jesus in His prayer said this. It's very important to our lesson tonight, what Jesus said in His prayer. Jesus said, sanctify them, let me set them apart. Sanctify them by Your truth. Your Word is truth. As You sent Me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify Myself, that they may also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in Me through their Word. That's through the apostles' Word. That they all may be one. as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be maybe one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Is it any one of the people don't believe Jesus came to the world? Or that he's the Son of God or anything? No, they see all this infighting, fussing among people who say they follow the Lord or they follow the Christ or Son of God. Can't you see why? With all the division that exists. But that's not the Bible's fault. What has the devil done? Move along here. The evil one works to confuse and deceive those that seek the truth of the gospel of Christ. He goes after them. But how does he do it? In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, his eye does it. And the Apostle Paul enumerated this, making sure that those at Corinth who thought they were so smart and so wise and so educated, he wanted them to understand something about the preaching of the gospel. So you know that I'm just not making this up as I go or throwing it up in a dark closet somewhere. I want you to listen to 1 Corinthians 2 and the first five verses. I want you to hear what Paul said. Paul said, "Now, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in meekness and weakness and fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So these congregations, they're interviewing preachers, you know, like they're a corporation, and he's jockeying for a job. Professional preachers, toastmasters, and they have all kinds of innovative things that they say, which are certainly self-promotional things, of course, but that's okay, though, because after all, they're business-like. You know what? Business of Christ is the business of His Word. And Paul knew that. And there was an educated man, educated evangelist, able to be part of Paul. His wisdom was great. He said, "Peter, come out, you come anything to your father, not." But it meant something to the Jews. They knew what that meant. They understood it, that probably in Tarsus, the finest school in the world, he knew those things, but he didn't use those things. Why not? Because he knew that faith in Christ Jesus was found in the Word of God, not in the Word of men. Know that he's the man. Usually somebody says, "You're just running education down." No. I'm lifting up what the Bible teaches. So faith comes by hearing of the Word of God. That's where we're at, brethren. That's where we're at, dear friends. We stay with the Scriptures because that's the only thing we've got. That's all we have. 2 Peter 1, verse 2 through 8, pretty well seals the deal, in a manner of speaking. "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, from the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be protected of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." But wait a minute, preacher. But maybe you didn't hear what Oprah said. I said, "Thank the Lord, I never heard what Oprah said." And I don't care what Oprah said. I always say you can have her, but no, you don't need her. Really, no. Well, maybe Jerry Springer's got something to share with us. Probably not. How about Dr. Dobson? Whoa! Focus on the family. Perhaps that will help us. Will it? When Peter wrote by the inspiration of Scriptures that how much? "Given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." This is, yeah, you shout that I want to. We know that Scripture. That doesn't mean much to us. You know why it doesn't? Because you don't trust the Word of God, that's why. Your faith isn't where it ought to be. I don't know what kind of faith you've got. But if it's not from God's Word, it ain't faith at all. It's faith a lot. It's faith of men. Not faith of God. You need to think about these things. That's why I say it so loud and then my voice hurts. In 2 Corinthians 4th chapter, Paul made this observation very, very timely while we're studying tonight. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 and 5. "But even if our gospel is veiled," that's hidden, "it is veiled to those who are perishing." Well, wait a minute. I thought the gospel was to save the perishing. Now, does that make any sense to you? Well, let's try that again. "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing." Well, Paul, that doesn't make sense. Those who preach the same perishing, but this says that it's veiled to them. He says, well, here's why. Whose mind the God of this age or this world has blinded, who do not believe that the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Have you ever gone to a Bible study? And you sat down there with your Bible and you open your Bible and the person reached over and shut your Bible. I said, well, what are we doing here? They're going to Bible study and they got the TV blaring in one room and radio going in another. No, not when I have a Bible study. We turn that mess off. There's no way we're going to do that because we're not going to divide our attention from the Word of God. We're not here to just listen to Dennis. We're here to hear the Word of God. All right. It's sad, brethren. It's sad about Jesus. That Jesus paid such a price so we can have such a glorious word that people just tread on and just drag through the mire and the muck and the mud. And it's nasty. It's sad. He went on to say, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Consider what Jesus said. As we consider tonight. In Matthew the 15th chapter. So as Jesus said to the Pharisees, you're not being ugly to the Pharisees. Jesus tell them where they're at. Where they're really at. They don't know where they're at. And many people don't. They don't know where they're at. They're not legend of God. Jesus said in the 7th verse of the 15th chapter of Matthew 15 verse 7, hypocrites. Oh boy, that's a way to win enemies and influence. Hypocrites, liars. Well, in Isaiah prophesied about you saying, these people draw an enemy with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but the heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. And you know the rest of that one, don't you? Because they come to Jesus in the 12th verse, then his disciples came and said to him, do you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this thing? Dennis, don't you know that the Baptists were upset with you when you talked about Baptist doctrine? Why, Dennis, don't you know the Catholic priests were upset when you talked about Catholicism? Why, Dennis, don't you know the Lutherans were upset when you talked about Lutheranism? Why, Dennis, don't you know that the Methodists were upset when you talked about John Wesley? Dennis, what are you doing? I said, I'm preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not preaching the gospel of the Baptists, Methodists, Episcopals, Lutherans, anything you want to call yourself. I'm preaching the gospel of Christ from the Bible. Where I find it, just where you can find it too. But you just hate those people. No, on the contrary. I have many friends among those denominations. Many friends. But if they'll allow me, I will show them the scriptures. Not show them. I will invite them to look at the scriptures to consider what the Bible says in light of the scriptures, what they ought to do. About where they're at and what they're doing. Have you noticed, too, in John the 5th chapter, what Jesus said? And what more can you say than what Jesus said? In John 5 and verse 40 to 44, I do not receive honor from men, but I know you. You do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe? Let's do it. Underline your Bible. John 5:44. How can you believe? How can you believe? How do you have faith who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Does it matter what name we use? Really? Of course it does. John 14th chapter. It doesn't matter what name. Name doesn't matter. Then why would Jesus say Jesus? Why would he continue to say? In John 14th chapter, in the 25th and 26th verses, these things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. What? He will teach you all things. What he said. Again, to the apostles, he will teach you all things. So many times I wonder if anyone's really listening at all to what he said. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. Last time I checked, I closed my eyes and I don't remember anything. In fact, I barely remember my name anymore. But he told the apostles that he would, the Holy Spirit, bring to their remembrance. That's what God said, by my name. Pardon me. By my authority. That's what Jesus talked about. In Acts 4 and verse 12, I go briefly through these very quickly. Oh, you're turning now. I'll tell you a little story about Brayton, my grandson Brayton. Sweet boy, 60 years old now. Well, when he was 4 years old, he came to the house one day. He said, Papa, he said, I have a question. I said, okay, Brayton, what's your question? He said, Papa, why do you preach? Pretty good question. I thought for a minute. I said, well, Brayton, I love Jesus. That's why I preach. He said, oh, I didn't know that. I thought, what did I do? He didn't understand that. Oh, you assume a lot of things, don't you? You think they understand. They don't get it. Well, Papa, why do you preach? Because I love Jesus. Oh, I didn't know that. And I think to myself, sometimes I wonder about people in the world. We're these Christians or whatever, but our life didn't show it. How in the world do they know what a Christian is? How do they know anything? By the way, I wasn't offended by my grandson. He just didn't understand it. He was supposed to honor him because he said he's a preacher. Wrong. That's totally wrong. That has nothing to do with anything, does it? You better honor the book. You better honor the words of Christ. You better honor the things that the Lord taught through his apostles. Yes, sir? Better listen. Better listen carefully. Acts 4, verse 12. A verse that used to be preached all the time. Used to just constantly preach this. Acts 4, verse 12. I know that Joe does. But Acts 4, verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And yet this preacher pops up and he says, well, you know, brother, Jesus Christ, that's just really prejudicial words. And what would you see, get rid of that? Well, that's just not going to reach the loss, you know. And I said, okay, all right, fine. We'll go out and we'll mark through and we'll take down the sign that says Church of Christ. We'll come in and we'll turn it number 2. I don't remember here in this book. We'll come in and we'll sing real loud and learn, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. That'll work out, won't it? I'm not ashamed to own my Lord. But yet I'm going to remove the sign that says that's what's inside. Now I realize, oh yes, I do. There are other names in the New Testament for the Church of the Lord. I do understand that very well. And I also understand that just because it says Church of Christ outside, that don't mean that's what's inside. And I'm just the first one to warn you about that. But I'll tell you something. I will not shrink from calling myself a Christian and a member of the Church of Christ because it upsets somebody. Because my question is for you at the judgment day, how much will it upset the Lord when you wouldn't know His name? How about that? Does that matter? I may have done something. Or if I'm more loving than you, you're not a loving person. Really, you just let them go into hell and don't tell them they're in error or anything. That's love? Forget it. Not the kind of love I understand from the Scriptures. I understand the Scriptures and the love of Jesus. He died so we'd come out and stand, not stay in it. No, sir. I'm not going to go along with that. In Ephesians, the first chapter, I read this. Uh-oh. I'm over time a little bit here. If I don't have Tennyson in the audience, he'll say, turn it off. For old Tennyson, my grandson, 4 years old. In Ephesians 1, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. Why does it say that? If it doesn't matter what you say or what name doesn't matter. Not only in this age, but also in that which has come. Well, it's because you say it arrogantly. You're so arrogant. Really? I just want to be a Christian. How about you? No other name. Why is it that in Romans, the 16th chapter, the 16th verse, why is it the Apostle Paul pins what he does when he says simply, greet one another with a holy kiss, the churches of Christ greet you. Why did he write that? Why did he write it to the church of Galatia? They're churches of Christ. Don't you understand that? They're churches of Jesus. Church is being. I can see him. He's called out group, called out purpose. I'm afraid though, he's got some churches of Christ that called out for all kinds of purposes, but it's not the purpose of Christ. And that's the problem. They think they're a community service organization. The Bible doesn't teach anything like that. No, sir, it does not. We're charged individually to do the good our hands want to do, absolutely. But the church is not charged for the meals on wheels. And the church is not charged for the indigent of the community, you know, the community. No, sir, they do the good their hands want to do, because the church is not just some nebulous glob of people. It's you. It's me. It's what we do. What we understand is our obligation. Hard to understand, isn't it? When people have a concept that it's always somebody else's business to get it done. What shall we be called? I know that Acts 11 verse 26 says, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. I know they're called Christians. That's just what they were. They're just called Christians, Christ-like, what it means. Or shall we with the names of men? Go back to John 5, just real briefly with you, if you will, please. Just real briefly. One more time, look at this. In John 5th chapter, hear what Jesus said. Again, hear this. John 5th chapter. John 5, verse 37. The 37th verse. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not know. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. Don't you see that's the picture of what's happening today? Can't you see that's why all these different denominations and all these different churches or whatever they might be, why they're that way, what's going on? Do you understand that? How is it you do not understand? I think you do. I think a lot of people in this audience know very well what I'm saying. And they understand it clearly. But the question tonight, if authority for what we do and stay in our service of Christ Jesus the Lord doesn't really matter, why did King Jesus say all these things in reference to scripture worship? Why did he tell these things? Why did Jesus say all that? If it doesn't matter how you worship God anyway. Well, if you're sincere, of course. If you're sincere, that makes it all right. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? Luke 6 and verse 42. Why do you do that? Jesus would say. Men love the praise of men, and they walk in the pathway of the academic excellence versus walking in the pathway of life. God's Word. Is it what I like? What you like? What we like? Is that, you really think that's what the church is about? It is not. It's about the Lord. It's about He who said, I'll build my church. And the guys said, hey, he's not rebelling against it. That's in 16:18. Don't you understand that's what it's about? It's hard. It's really hard. I'm not complaining, but it's really hard to compete with all the media that is around us. It really is. Do you know that now books are being gotten rid of? I guess it's going to have the Bible too. I don't know. I hope not. They never have gotten rid of it before. If you were the devil and you wanted to destroy faith in the world, what would you do? Well, the first thing I would do if I'm not the devil. I know you think of that. I'm not. But what I do is I'd be sure that all the children in all the schools never learned how to read. I'd make sure that they never, if they did read, understood what they were reading. That's what I would do. Well, you know what? Don't have to go far, do you? Where are we at? Where are we at? Can't you see it? Don't you understand why we're in the mess we're in? And we're in a mess, brethren. This did not happen by accident. I can't lay it all at the feet of Satan because people follow the devil. That's why these things are happening. And we hold our hands and go, oh, it's terrible, it's terrible. You know what? It was terrible a long time ago. He said, well, what can I do? I'm just one. You know what? You're the one that belongs to Jesus if you're a New Testament Christian. If you've been baptized for the remission of your sins and been added to the church by Jesus Christ, you're that one that makes a difference. You're the one that stands up for the truth of the gospel. You don't let them talk this down. You don't do it. You're not ashamed of your Lord. You're not ashamed of Jesus. You're not ashamed of His Word. You might be ashamed of how much you don't know of His Word, but you're not ashamed of His Word. Are you? I hope not. Don't be ashamed of His Word. You know, again, you might be ashamed of how much you don't know of that book, but don't be ashamed of the book. Do not tolerate, go along with. That's why. Do not tolerate, go along with those who act like, well, no, I don't know. The Bible says a lot of things. You don't really understand it anyway. You know, what's the point? Why Jesus died on the cross? He died so in simple, trusting faith, we believe in Him to be the Son of God, the authority. In obedience to His will, not repent of our sins, turn from the way of life we're living. Come, if you will, and confess it with your mouth as the Son of God, and be buried in water baptism for the remission of sins. All your sins be washed away. Remember no more. To be a child of God, joined in the church by Jesus Christ Himself, to stand with the army of the Lord, stand with the mighty might of the Lord, who after the ages stood against the devil and stood against the evil of this world. That's who we are. Don't you ever be ashamed of who we are. There are many before us, good, faithful Christians who gave their lives, who stood their ground, brethren, in the face of great adversity. You're in the presence of greatness, Jesus Christ the Lord. And we ought to understand that. I didn't say we lifted up by pride, but at least understand who you're in the presence of. And understand what Jesus paid, and understand why it's important that it be His church. What He paid for. And not just what I like or what you like, or what Jesus taught. The lesson is yours. If this night you're not an New Testament Christian because you're not about the gospel, please consider the things I've said tonight. Please look at your Bible, read your Bible, compare these things. Take what I've said, take it apart. It's fine. You don't offend me. I'm not above question, brethren. I'm not. But I'm afraid I know a lot of preachers who think they are. And brethren, when you find somebody that says they're above question, they're rotten to the core. There's something wrong. Jesus Christ is never afraid to be questioned because Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the truth. As Christians, do you live your life so people can see that you belong to Him? You belong to Jesus? Funny thing about people in the world, they know who you belong to. They really do. Follow the life that you live, they know. If you brought reproach in the name of Christ, His very name, then be restored even this night. Come and let us pray with you for you. You might be restored to your first love, to do the things that please Him in the sight of God, that you might be an encouragement by standing up with the soldiers of Christ, to do the things that please Him in His sight. What is your need this night? Would you make it known? Would you? While we stand and while we sing, won't you come?